Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Back at it as we are into hour number two of the program. Here in hour number two, we've got a few things to get to. We are going to talk with a St. Louis Battlehawk. We're going to be doing this on an every week basis now. Generally, it's going to be on Thursdays, but not always on Thursdays, depending on the Cardinal schedule and some other things going on. But we're going to try to talk with a Battlehawk each and every week as Travis Feeney is going to join us coming up in just a few moments. About 15 minutes or so is when he is scheduled to call in. And then also coming up this hour, we're going to talk with Mike Zook, a former St. Louis Blue, guy who scored the game-winning goal in a college hockey championship game that was played here in St. Louis about 50 years ago. So we're going to talk with him about the Frozen Four, which is going on as we speak over at the Enterprise Center. I'll tell you, I love days like this because you roll into downtown and like the hustle and bustle that exists is just, it feels a little different than most days. And I think, you know, it feels that way obviously with Blues games and Cardinals games, but there's something a little more today with the Frozen Four in town. The first game of the day, it's a good one. Denver and Western Michigan are matched up against each other. That game is currently in overtime and they are all tied up at 2 goals apiece. Once that game wraps up, Penn State and Boston University are going to play against each other. Penn State playing in a Frozen Four for the first time ever. Those two teams matching up against each other for a first time ever as well. We've talked a lot about it today. Rodery Munoz is joining the Cardinals here as he takes the spot of Chris Roycroft. It's being reported that Munoz is getting the call from AAA Memphis. He'll be on the roster tomorrow when the Cardinals open up their weekend series against the Philadelphia Phillies. And I'm excited to see what Munoz can do for this team. I liked what I saw in spring training from him. He was impressive. And as we are into a strike zone hour of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX, talk about Munoz and what he could mean for this team moving forward and being part of the future. Building the Future is sponsored by Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. I think he's just one of these arms to be excited about for the bullpen moving forward. And I think these guys are going to come around. And Chris Roycroft is absolutely still in that discussion. I'm bullish on what Roycroft's going to become. I like what Gordon Graceffo could potentially be. Riley O'Brien, the same guys I mentioned last hour, Tekoa Roby, that sort of thing. But I do think there is a bigger conversation to be had right now. And maybe I'm jumping the gun on this conversation, because if the Cardinals can start winning some games, and if they can, which I think they're going to do, I'm still a believer in this team that they can be better than what outside expectations would say they're going to be. Now, honestly, if we're being very blunt about it, the way they have played for the last week or so, the series against Boston and the series against Pittsburgh, that's kind of what the outside expectations thought that this team was going to be. That was the expectation of the team. And that's kind of the bummer in this whole thing, that I think they can be better than that, but anytime they're not better than that, there's going to be people that say, see, told you so, thought that that's what they're going to look like. And I can remind you as much as I want to that they're 12 games into the season. But like I've said a million times now, they're also in a year where it feels like they have to get off to a good start. So what are the next steps on this whole thing for this team moving forward? Where do they go if things don't go where they want them to go, both from a team standpoint and from an individual standpoint? And we discussed this a little bit on Redbird Rush Hour today, but I kind of feel like in many ways, the next, I don't know if it's an inflection point, the next major decision, I guess, to be made could potentially come around Miles Michaelis, because so much was made of his offseason where he had to find a way to be better. He had to find a way to be better. He had the second worst ERA of any qualifying pitcher over the last 2 years. That's not going to play. And he's going into the final year of a contract where now, if you move on from him, the money that you're eating, while it's still a fair amount of money because he's a highly paid player, if you move on from him this year, you're moving on. You're not paying him next year and the year beyond and the year beyond. It just feels different when you move on from a guy who's in the final year of his contract. And I'm a little bit more liberal in the, I guess, the leash that I would give Michaelis than a lot of people are. Certainly more than Kevin Wheeler would. We have this discussion all the time. And I understood what the Cardinals were doing. I completely understood what the Cardinals were doing when Michaelis was in the rotation and, you know, Matz is essentially in the rotation. He's just getting in the rotation a few weeks late because he's going to join when they go to a six-man rotation. And Michael McGreevy is down at AAA Memphis. I understood what was going on, because the last thing you wanted to have happen was somebody gets injured, two guys get injured, three guys get injured, two guys get injured, and another guy is just completely non-effective, and all of a sudden you are really scrambling for starting pitching. You wanted to avoid that. So if you have a little bit of starting pitching depth, using that at the beginning of the season and see how it all plays out, to me that makes a lot of sense. And I know from a Cardinal standpoint, I'm sure they're also very cognizant of the amount of money that they are paying Miles Michaelis, and they didn't want to walk away from that right at the beginning of the season. But the money part of it, I don't care about. That doesn't concern me. What does concern me is kind of the baseball side of it. And I think it's very fair, and I think it's very legitimate of the Cardinals to begin the season with Miles Michaelis in the rotation after he had a perfectly fine spring, and after he talked very much about him knowing that he needed to change the way he pitches, that he needs to throw less middle strikes. Like, that's essentially what it comes down to. He's done it a little bit. He hasn't done it enough. If you look at his chart of where he is throwing pitches, especially where he's throwing fastballs, there are still a lot of middle. There are still a lot of pitches that are catching a lot of plate. He was fine in his first start. Not great, not bad, just fine. Second start, obviously, was terrible. And now I feel like we are coming up on that leash beginning to shorten on him, where he has to perform at a respectable level, or I think the conversation about what to do with him really comes to the forefront for the Cardinals. We can talk all we want about it, and that's what people in the media do, and that's what fans do. We can talk all we want about it, but I'm more interested in when do the Cardinals start to talk about a possible change. And he's probably still one or two really bad starts away from that happening. But then the next question is, what does that change look like? When Oliver Marmol was on with the guys on Tuesday, they asked him about Michaelis, and Ollie kind of turned the question back on Tom Ackerman and said, what would you do? And Tom's answer was switch him and Steven Matz and get Matz in the rotation and put Michaelis in the bullpen. I don't have a problem with the Matz part of that, Matz going into the rotation. I think Matz is set up to have a very respectable season, especially if he can stay healthy. That's obviously the key for him. But I wouldn't understand the idea of putting Michaelis in the bullpen. The only reason to put Michaelis in the bullpen is to think to yourself that maybe you can work on some things with him there that will eventually get him back into the rotation. Because everything about Miles Michaelis says this is a guy who is going to have his best chance for success as a starting pitcher. I don't see his skill set transferring to the bullpen. I don't think he's going to be happy down there. I don't think his skill set transfers to that. I don't think that is a good idea. Now, if the Cardinals are hell-bent on keeping him on the roster and keeping him in the organization, well, and he pitches as poorly as he did his last time out another time or two, then sure, putting him in the bullpen is better than having him take the ball on every fifth day. But once you start doing stuff like that, I have to start to wonder, is it time just to cut bait? Is it time just to wash your hands of that? Now, Michaelis has something to say about that, right? Let's not count this guy out. He is somebody who he can have a bounce back. He can pitch well here moving forward. And this line of conversation is going to change dramatically. And I've always said, you know, this guy's not that far removed from being an all-star pitcher. He's also 2 years of being statistically one of the worst pitchers in baseball. So both those things are true. He was an all-star not that long ago. He has not been good for two straight years. Which one of those two sides can start to win out? That's a big question over the next couple weeks. And if you think he's kind of the guy that he was in Boston and not a whole lot has changed from the last 2 years to right now, I think that's the point that the Cardinals do start to make some sort of a tough decision. What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Cardinals, Phillies tomorrow as they open up a 3-game weekend series against each other. This is going to be a fun one. The Phillies are a very, very good team, and the Cardinals for tomorrow's game, they are set to send Andre Pallante to the mound, and he's going to be opposed by Aaron Nola. 7:15 first pitch tomorrow. Our coverage is going to begin with Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock. We will take a break, and when we return, we are set to be joined by Travis Feeney of the St. Louis Battlehawks. He's with us in just a moment on the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are awaiting a phone call from Travis Feeney. He is a member of the St. Louis Battlehawks. We'll get him on coming up in just a moment or so for the Battlehawks. They are coming up on a Week 3 matchup. That is going to be taking place this Sunday at the Dome, 2 o'clock kickoff when they match up against the D.C. Defenders. And with that, very happy to welcome on to the program. He is now a Battlehawks veteran. He's been around for a few years now, back with the team again. He is Travis Feeney, joins us right now. Travis, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the feeling? A 2-0 start to the team, especially from a defensive standpoint. You guys have allowed just 6 and 9 points over the first two games. I got to think everybody's feeling pretty good.
Yeah, man, I think we're all feeling good. I mean, it's great to start 2-0. I think the best thing is that our glass is still not full. You know, and you want to maintain that the glass is not full. We're not satisfied, and we're still hungry.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and the Battlehawks had a team record that was broken and then a UFL record being set by giving up just the 15 points over the last two games. When you talk about, you know, not settling and not being happy and wanting more, is that a good example of that, that you guys seemingly are getting better and you're doing more on a week-to-week and a year-to-year basis?
Yeah, I think that's really something to look at, and I think it's something motivational for the guys just to see stuff like that, seeing little accolades, little goals like that, just to keep you going, you know, and it's something just to keep striving for more. You know, it's like, okay, we got this, let's get this regular, let's get this, let's do this, let's just keep going off of it. Okay, this is cool, but, like, let's not be content. Let's still maintain hungry. Like, we still got a mountain on our back. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just from how last year occurred. I still think about it. I know the guys still think about it. Like, we still got to climb up this big hill. You know, we're a wolf climbing the hill, still hungry, and got to keep searching for food and got to get more.
Yeah, and obviously you're alluding to the fact that the season last year doesn't end with a championship. As you come back and so many other guys come back, how much is that goal spoken about, that you guys are back to go out and win a championship this year?
Man, it's not even really spoken about. It's just known. You know, it's just a known thing, and we know what we got to do. We're definitely taking one game at a time. You know, every game is the biggest game, but it's definitely in the back of your mind. It's known what the standard is and what we want to achieve.
How about for you personally? You had a big sack this past week. You led the team certainly in that category previously. Do you feel like you personally are getting better as a football player?
Yeah, man, I definitely feel like I am. I mean, I definitely have left a couple numbers out there on the field from Houston game, and I mean, I should have had 2 this last game. So, you know, it's I'm getting there, and as long as I'm getting there and it's helping the guys in the back end and my guys in the inside are helping me to get there, you know, and then we're all playing as a fluent defense, like, it just feels good, and it feels good, like you said, I'm a vet, and I still feel great. It doesn't feel like I'm losing a step. So, I mean, that's a really good thing for me right now.
Is that the thing in a game that maybe you most remember? If there's a sack for you to have and you don't finish it, you don't complete it, is that the thing that sometimes runs through your head a little bit over the next few weeks?
Oh, dude, man. As soon as I missed the one in Houston, that's all I was thinking about. I mean, we got the win. Obviously, I'm happy about the win and, like, grateful, but, like, missing that sack right off the bat. Like, I didn't even talk, like you see right now, I didn't even talk about my San Antonio sack I had. Yeah. Still talking about the one I missed. But my celebration was great.
There you go. All right, that's that works. That works for sure. Just from a team standpoint, defensively, you're part of a unit, and you've got a defensive coordinator in Donnie Abraham. You got a defensive line coach in Leroy Glover, who obviously St. Louis folks are very familiar with. Can you talk to me a little bit about those two individuals and what they do and how they help not just you but the entire defensive group come out and play at a really high level?
Well, I think one thing that's good is we have a lot of similar bodies. We have a lot of the same guys, and having that chemistry of guys that have played with each other for 2 or 3 years now, it just makes everything really easy. And then to have that with the chemistry with Glove and Ice and Clay and everybody at Bayless and everybody on the staff, just knowing that who they got, how we want to play, and we know what they want to do and how they want to play and how they want to fix it. So, you know, if we have an error, we're – already right off the bat, Glove and them don't even have to even tell us, like, what error we did. We already know what we did. We already know to go back and fix it. But, and then just the experience with just those two alone and then on top of the other coaches, I mean, what more, how much more experience can you ask for? What other better coaching can you get?
It's well talked about in every interview I've ever done with anybody connected to the Battle Hawks. We've talked about just the attendance and how St. Louis supports this team more than any base supports their teams in their market. How different is it when you go play a road game and bluntly there's not a lot of people in the stands versus what it feels like to play at the Dome and be playing in front of a lot of people?
Man, you know, I always yell to the guys. You know, they ignore me. Think I'm being the older guy, but I'm like, BYOE, man, bring your own energy to these other stadiums, because ain't nothing like St. Louis. You know, we got the record-breaking crowds, and, you know, I was talking to my guy, Saul, you know, but, you know, got something going. You know, the fans bring 40. We get 40K. I'll dye my hair blue the whole rest of the year.
Really? Okay.
We got to get that dome filled.
So
any game we get 40, I'll dye my hair blue for the rest of the season.
Okay. I heard you had a little bit of a challenge for the fans to go along with the blue masquerade, which is the theme this Sunday. Is that it? Travis Feeney is saying 40,000 fans in the dome, blue hair for the rest of the year?
Give me 40 and blue hair the rest of the year.
Okay. Have you ever dyed your hair any color before?
I've dyed it for cancer. I do ribbons in my hair for cancer. I've done breast cancer ribbon. I did a prostate ribbon last year, but I never dyed my whole head.
So you don't really know what you're getting into on that one, do you?
No, man. I'm look like thing one and thing two.
Oh, that's a good line for sure. So Battlehawks back at it coming up on Sunday. It's going to be a 2 o'clock start, matching up against the DC Defenders. You have any thoughts on that DC team?
Hey, man, I don't like them and they don't like us. And I'm not giving teams energy or anything, but we already know what it is. It's a rivalry. Our fans know what it is. I just saw a little Twitter post that some DC Defender fan made, so I'm pretty hyped up. You know, they woke up a sleeping bear. Don't poke the bear when it's asleep, you know what I'm saying?
Again, I'm not trying to create bulletin board material, but is that the team, is that of all these teams you play, are they the team that you feel like is your biggest rival?
They're one of them.
Okay.
Everybody is, but yeah, they definitely have a little sweet spot.
All right, good stuff. Well, Travis, we appreciate you taking some time. We're going to watch those attendance numbers every week and hope for 40,000 because we
got to get to 40.
Yep, we want to see the blue hair for sure. Travis, thanks so much for taking the time. Best of luck this week and the rest of the season. Hopefully we can catch up again down the line.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Travis Feeney joining us again. He says, man, he's such a good dude. He's such a good dude. I love guys like that. He says that 40,000 people in the dome, he is dyeing his hair blue for the rest of the year. And he's got a head of hair. He's got a head of hair. There's a lot of hair right there to dye blue. So there you go. That's as good a reason as a, you know, if he does that, maybe we can figure out a way to have that done on the air or something. I don't know. We first get to 40,000 and then we'll figure that out from there. We've got a lot more coming up. We'll talk Frozen Four hockey in just a moment. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It is a huge sports weekend in St. Louis, and a big part of that is something that is going on at this moment at the Enterprise Center. The Frozen Four is taking place, and to talk a little bit about that, we're going to talk with somebody who's got quite the memory to go along with the Frozen Four. He is a former St. Louis Blue. He is Mike Zook. Mike, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing good. My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, what kind of memories come back to you because you played in the Frozen Four and had a really big moment and was part of a Michigan Tech national title in St. Louis. So when as this event is back in St. Louis, what kind of memories come up for you?
Well, it brings back a lot of memories. My college career, where I played for a pretty good team, Michigan Tech. We actually ended up playing against the Minnesota Gophers 3 years in a row for the national championship. That was back when Herbie Brooks was coaching the Gophers, and in 74, they beat us in Boston. In 75, we beat them here in St. Louis, and in 76, they beat us in Denver. So it brings back some really good years that Michigan Tech had, and I enjoyed while I was in college.
You scored the game-winning goal in that national championship game against Minnesota. Do you still remember that moment and that goal like it was yesterday?
Well, I do remember it partially because it's still on video. I think you can still get the game watch it on YouTube, so every once in a while I'll take a look at it. Not that often, but I remember it, and I remember seeing it.
What when that event was being held in St. Louis, what was obviously the Frozen Four is such a big deal now, and there's so much that goes along with it, and we live in kind of a different media landscape. Can you talk me through what it was like and how big of a deal and that sort of thing when that event did take place in St. Louis?
Well, it was a big deal for us, but it really wasn't that big a deal in the hockey world because back then, professional hockey and the hockey teams and managers, most of them didn't give college hockey players that much credit. They really didn't understand how good college hockey was until the U.S. team won the Olympics in 80. And then all of a sudden, they found out that, hey, maybe college hockeys are pretty good. I remember my first guy graduated 76, turned pro, and I remember my first training camp, my coach, who was actually Jock Demers, sent me to the minors because he said, well, you know, college hockey, you only play 40 games. There's no hitting. There's no checking. You got to go down and learn the professional game for a little while. And they didn't really understand that college hockey players were pretty good. But now I think 35% of the players in the National Hockey League come out of college hockey. So it was a big event for us, but it really wasn't that big in the hockey world. It was big for the school, big for our fans. I don't think we filled the arena by any means, but I remember a lot of our fans took the bus ride from Houghton, Michigan down to the game, and our band was there. So it was a big event for us in the school.
Has it been fun for you to watch the kind of the evolution of college hockey? We just saw Jimmy Snuggerud finish his career at Minnesota, and he stepped right into the Blues lineup. And a lot of guys still go through the minors, but that's not the most rare thing in the world where guys come out, you know, the elite players out of college hockey are ready for the NHL the moment they sign their contract.
Yeah, no, I get a lot of satisfaction from it because I've coached for 30 years in St. Louis kids, and when I first started, I had to convince parents that our kids could possibly get college scholarships. And, you know, because there weren't that many kids, if any, that came out of St. Louis at the time and went to college and had hockey scholarships. And then finally, we convinced the parents to spend the money and the time. And as I was coaching, I actually had six kids go to college hockey on Division One scholarships from a team a long time ago. Ben Bishop was actually one of them, and Travis Turnbull and four other, Chris Butler was one of them also. So it gives me a lot of satisfaction. For me, I think college hockey is great. It gives kids a chance to get an education as well as play at a high level of hockey that doesn't hurt them in their careers.
We're also seeing it from a coaching standpoint where college coaches will jump right in. Jim Montgomery was the coach at Denver not that long ago, and he's obviously done quite well in the NHL. He's not the only guy who's come from the college ranks, so it just feels like all in all, there's a lot of respect towards the college game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Jim's one of the best coaches. He had success. He coached Denver. He had success there. I believe he won a national championship. He coached in junior hockey in the USHL, had a lot of success, and a lot of success in Dallas and the success in Boston. And obviously, he's doing great here, so it's nice to see Jim do so well.
Your connection to like the St. Louis hockey community is incredible because you have this amazing story of playing in college hockey and winning a national title in St. Louis. You play for the Blues. You've continued to be part of that that community since then. How proud are you that once again this event, and I know it was here in 2007, but once again the Frozen Four is back in this great hockey community of St. Louis?
No, very proud, and I'm very proud of the way our city supports not only things like this, but other sporting events, the golf, and you bring anything in town, gymnastics or whatever, and the St. Louis fans support it tremendously.
It's going to be pretty cool for you coming up on Saturday as you're going to be recognized as part of the 50th anniversary of the Michigan Tech national title. I got to think that's very gratifying for you to be honored in that way and for people to continue to remember this event that we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's very, very nice of everybody to recognize it. I've done a couple of articles, and I've got to go on a radio show tomorrow, so it's nice. It's nice that college hockey gets the recognition that it does.
Do you? I assume you still follow along with the Blues and everything. They went on that great run, and then they've lost a couple in a row. Jim Montgomery's obviously doing a great job. What have you thought about what they have been able to do here recently, as they are putting themselves in great position for the playoffs?
No, I've been a big fan since I retired. Came back and retired here, and it was great to win the cup. I mean, they allowed the alumni to be part of it, get into the parade and a couple of parties, and it was super. And it's really fun to watch them have the success they're having. I told people when they won the cup that I was most happy for the fans. They've been so supportive of the team over the years. Obviously, the Cardinals are a big part of the city, but our Blues fans are every bit as excited about our Blues, and I'm happy to see them. We got to get a couple of points to get in the playoffs, but who knows what happens once you get in there.
Yeah, absolutely. National title game coming up on Saturday. The Frozen Four semifinal games going on today. The late game is going to be Penn State against Boston University. Mike, thank you for taking some time with us and reflecting on such a great moment. I'm so happy that you're going to be part of a group that's recognized coming up on Saturday. Make sure to enjoy that, and hopefully we can catch up again down the line.
Yeah, my pleasure, and thank you very much.
That is Mike Zook joining us here on the program. Played with the Blues from 78 to 83, college career at Michigan Tech. Game-winning goal in a national title game in St. Louis. How cool is that? And now the Frozen Four back in St. Louis going on as we speak. Third time that this event has been held in St. Louis, 75-2007, and now going on right now. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back, and we are going to wrap up this edition of the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Wrapping things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. No Sports Open Line really tomorrow. We might have just a couple minutes or so leading to Cardinals baseball. Really not much of anything, as Cardinals coverage tomorrow is scheduled to begin at 6:20, I believe it is. 6:20, yeah, for 7:15 first pitch. I had to do math in my head, and anybody who knows me doing math in my head is not an especially good thing. I've been thinking about this a lot, and we've talked about it a bit, just in the sense that, like, Kevin Wheeler and I talked about it, and we mentioned earlier, the pitching matchups in this series coming up against Philadelphia, it's advantage Philadelphia every single day, just based off starting pitching matchups. Nola against Pallante, Sanchez against Michaelis, and Wheeler against Liberatore. That doesn't mean the Phillies are going to win all three games, but I do think that if I'm going to sit here and talk all offseason long about how important it is that the Cardinals get off to a good start, well, I think you look at what's coming up here. I mean, their schedule, it's really challenging here moving forward. Really, really challenging. You have Philadelphia for three. You have Houston for three. That's the upcoming homestand. You're then going to go on the road for a four-gamer against the Mets. The Mets have been playing about as good a baseball as anybody out there. You have three games against Atlanta. I know Atlanta has had a really slow start, but they're playing a little bit better, and they're still, they're the third or fourth best team in the National League. I think you look at the Dodgers and the Phillies as being the class of the National League, and then who do you put in after that as the third? Is it the Mets? Is it the Braves? Is it the Padres? Is it, you know, the Giants are off to a nice start? Like, they're in that conversation. And then you're back home for a three-game series against Milwaukee, and as tough of a start as Milwaukee had to their season with that not-so-great performance against the Yankees, even with them losing to the Rockies today, they completely turned their everything around, where up until today, they had won seven of their last eight. So the Cardinals' ability to kind of have that solid start to the season so they don't put themselves in some sort of a hole, that's going to be tested over the next couple weeks with who they're playing. I continue to believe in this team as a team that can compete, a team that can be contending for a playoff spot for sure. I still don't think there's a whole lot of difference between any of the top four teams in the National League. The Pirates are the only team that I don't think is as good as the others, and the Pirates just took two of three from the Cardinals, although I think we can all say that Cardinals absolutely should have won that series and should have won that game yesterday, but they didn't. They didn't. So that's where they're at. I think you got to find some wins in this. You got to find some wins in there. You got to find a win or two against Philadelphia. You got to find a win or two against Houston. You got to find a couple wins when you play that four-game series in New York against the Mets. Find a win against Atlanta. Have some success against Milwaukee. You got to do that. Because all of a sudden, if you're losing two out of three consistently and maybe getting swept in some of those series, you're in a tough spot. And a 5-7 record now, their record is fine. Like, we don't need to be worried about their record and the implications of the record for moving forward. Like, if you are stressed out about the fact that the Cardinals are two games under 500, 12 games in, let me tell you, like, I don't know what your life is like. I know in my life, I need to reduce stress from my life. Let me reduce some stress from your life. One thing about the Cardinals that you don't have to worry about is their record through 12 games. Their 5-7 record, it doesn't really matter at this point in time. But the bigger picture here is that you don't want to find yourself in fourth place and fifth place in the division, all of a sudden having a 5-game, a 6-game, a 7-game deficit in the first month of the season, where you're going to be spending some time trying to knock that down. Because I don't look at this Cardinals team as a team that's going to start just rattling off win after win after win. If this is a team that's going to stay in contention, if this is a team that's going to steal a playoff spot, if this is a team that is somehow going to win the division, they're going to have to do it in really grindy fashion. They're going to have to grind out every single game that they win. And I think they've done a good job. And they're just like using that word grind. That's been one of the things about their at-bats. Yesterday notwithstanding, where they only score the one run in 13 innings. For the most part, you know, the word that Oliver Marmol likes to use, and I think the word is correct, is relentless. This has been a team that from an approach standpoint at the plate, they absolutely have been relentless, and they're going to have to do that. And the pitching is going to have to look significantly better than it has for the last week or so. Um, we
We've seen the best that this team can be in that series against Minnesota open up the year. And we've also seen probably the worst that this team can be with what happened in the series against Boston, where you lose a game you should have won and you allow double-digit runs in the other two games. And even the way they lost to Pittsburgh in the finale. Like, that's not who you want this team to be. They've got to work to show that they are not that team. And if they can be more like the team that was good against Minnesota early on, it's going to be okay. But that's going to be tested. That is absolutely going to be tested here over the next few days, as they've got a really, really tough schedule in front of them. It's not going to really let up until late April into May, mid-May even, when you start to see some teams on the schedule that you can breathe a little bit. But Cardinals also can't take anybody lightly on any given basis. They're going to have to be ready to go on an everyday basis. That is it for the program today. On the way next, it is a replay of the Gas House Gang from today. Jason Mott, former Cardinals closer, he is the featured conversation today, so you'll certainly enjoy hearing that, as Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas will be with you for that. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I've got the first half hour of the Gas Asking tomorrow afternoon from 12 to 12:30. I'll join Chris Ranji and Mike Claiborne for that, and then I'll be back with you for a Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Thanks so much for being tuned in to the program. Have a wonderful night, and we'll talk again tomorrow. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line, a Strike Zone Hour right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.